This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. Our next story takes a look at Malaysia's first ever shadow cabinet.
Before we get to that, though, we have been asking you for your thoughts on, I suppose, the term super liberal. We've been talking about that today. We've gotten a bunch of messages and calls. Now, this one from Yahya, who says, on the epithet ultra-liberal or super-liberal, as used by Saudara Anwar, it proves Dr. M right when he condescendingly once said, Melayu Senang Lupa. Who took to the streets and wore the brunt of the FRU back in 98? Those dastardly liberals. Don't forget how barely a year ago he agreed with the statement that homosexuals should be discriminated against. The man may have lost a couple of political vertebrae along the struggle for justice and reform. Keep it real.
All right.
Truth bombs.
Truth bombs.
We're doing
That's
truth
what we've been
bombs.
Getting all day from our listeners.
It's been really enjoyable. Maybe I'm not as averse to total honesty as I thought, just in my personal life.
Keep it coming in, 01878988899. But now, let's take a look at our very first shadow cabinet. We never thought it would happen, but Barisan Nasional has formed a shadow cabinet, the first in Malaysia's history. It's led by opposition leader Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi from UMNO. The UMNO Secretary General, Tan Sri Anwar Musa, said that the shadow cabinet was formed by BN component parties UMNO, MCA and MIC because that is all that's left of Barisan Nasional.
Basically, yes.
Yes.
And that will see two BN MPs monitoring the federal ministry, and the committees are meant to function as a check and balance on each ministry and also as a policy watch alongside formulating alternative policies in contrast to those of Pakatan Harapan. I mean, I suppose that explanation came basically because we've never had one.
No, we haven't. And of course, there are a lot of familiar faces, you know, Dr. Shamuddin Hussain doing defense. You know, there are two people, some of them have three people. And I guess the idea behind that, of course, is because it's like a minister and deputy minister, if you will, something of the sort, right? The appointment that has garnered the most news, however, of course, was by Rimbau MP, Shadow Finance Minister, is now Khairi Jamaluddin. Now, he was on the breakfast grill today talking about the reason why the shadow cabinet was created.
The purpose of having a shadow cabinet is to ensure that we can provide the check and balance on a more focused level. So we will specialize in our respective portfolio. When you have parliamentary debates, it's easier to have an assigned person. So that person will cover whichever ministry that he's been assigned to rather than a free-for-all. So we decided after the last parliamentary session where everyone got stuck in on every single issue that we needed to be more focused. So the best way of doing this was by forming a shadow cabinet. I saw some of the comments yesterday saying that there's a lot of recycling going on.
Same faces.
But I think, first of all, you have to work with what you have. Those are the members of parliament that we have. And secondly, just because they were the former ministers doesn't mean that they have anything to offer. In fact, they can be quite a effective check and balance to the present minister, if anything, because they would know quite a lot about the portfolio that they cover. So my message would be to suspend judgment until you see how the shadow cabinet operates and until you see how the shadow ministers operate. Of course, some of us have been given...
That was Rimbau MP Khairi Jamaluddin on this morning's Breakfast Grill. You can download the podcast both on our website, bfm.my, as well as our app. He has also gone on to urge the government to provide resources for shadow ministers and basically saying that now that it's been announced, institutional reform of parliament should follow with select committees and resources for shadow ministers.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a very good idea, actually. It goes very much down the British parliamentary system.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And where everything is kind of official and everyone has a role to play. You know, before we, before we speak to Oisan, I think it's important to note that we were always, to give credit where it's due, right? For 8, 12, almost 13, 14 years, the opposition couldn't form a shadow cabinet. A lot of it had to do with the fact of the way the component parties were kind of constructed, right? They couldn't come to any sort of consensus. And also there was a risk that if you put the unpopular or wrong people in those positions, then maybe it may affect the way the public would vote for you.
Yeah.
Now, with Barisan, it's a little easier in the sense that, one, they've done the job before, for better or for worse.
I was going to say, it's about experience as much as
Correct.
Anything else. I mean, if you're comfortable holding that role in an official capacity, then the shadow capacity is just, well, yeah, I can do this.
Right. However, there is also the fact that UMNO kind of rules the roost, right? And oftentimes MC and MIC don't really say very much. So it's a lot easier to form a shadow cabinet in that situation.
Yes, when you have a dominant voice.
Exactly. So we're going to cross over now to Oi Sun, Principal Advisor of Pacific Research Center. Were there attempts in the past to form a shadow government? And if so, tell us in detail why they were unsuccessful.
Well, there was no serious attempt to form a shadowed government or shadow cabinet in the past. And that is because at that time, the opposition was Pakatan Harapan and before that, Pakatan Rakyat. And I think that at that time, they had problems allocating the different portfolios, even though those were only shadow portfolios among the various component parties of those opposition coalition.
And okay, before we go any further, maybe we can talk about what a shadow cabinet actually is, seeing as how Malaysians at large may not be all that familiar with the role of one. Talk us through what they'll be doing, what their scope of power will be.
Well, Malaysia, it's a so-called parliamentary democracy with the so-called Westminster political system. And typically in countries such as the United Kingdom, Australia and Canada, they would have the opposition forming a shadow cabinet. And that is usually, like, for example, if you have a ministerial portfolio, then on the opposition bench, you have similarly a so-called spokesperson on behalf of the opposition for that portfolio. In the Malaysian context, I think now they are sort of so-called clustering it together. And you don't see like very obvious so-called spokesperson or opposition or shadow member for a particular portfolio. Instead, you see, for example, a certain cluster of, let's say, security-related matters. You have quite a number of opposition members who are in that cluster. So I think even in the opposition bench, even now, you have similar problem as with the opposition then. Namely, if you put somebody, let's say, as a so-called shadow spokesperson for defense, well, what if you come back to power again? That person would become the defense minister, right? That would make his colleagues very, very unhappy, for example.
So, Isan, would it be fair to say that the factor that you just mentioned served as a hint as to why it took so long for our current cabinet to form and why this would be the first time we have a shadow cabinet?
Oh, yeah. You see, after Pakatan Harapan came to power, it took, I think, Dr. Mahathir up to, was it 2 months to form a complete cabinet? Huh? And that testified to, well, indeed, there were a lot of obviously internal arguments over, for example, which party should get which portfolios and how many portfolios and so on, which was also perhaps the reason why during the opposition period they could not form a shadow government.
And what do you think of the selection of shadow ministers? Do they qualify for their roles?
Well, in this kind of Westminster system, typically you would need politicians who are elected, who can be either minister or so-called shadow spokesperson and so on. It really doesn't matter what are their qualifications because civil servants would do all their work. They are rather symbolic in nature. I mean, they will only use their portfolio for politicking, whether they are in government or in opposition. Right now, UMNO's main problem is not whether it could play an effective opposition. It's with its credibility per se. UMNO, I think by now, it's mired in a lot of, for example, corruption scandals and so on. So as long as it cannot clear itself from those corruption scandals, and I don't think it can, you know, whatever opposition role they try to play, it will not come to fruition for them.
Rumbau MP Khairi Jamaluddin is urging the government to provide resources for shadow ministers. Is the government obliged to do so?
Well, in the other Westminster parliamentary democracies, indeed, there will be money allocated to the so-called shadow cabinet. But in the Malaysian context, we have never done it before, so we don't know. But I think a few months ago, when Pakatan Harapan first came to power, it did allocate a certain amount of money for even opposition member of parliament. Well, AMNO is not short in money. Now, come on, this is a party which has been the ruling party for so many years. It has amassed a lot of wealth and resources over the years.
But wouldn't it be politically wise, or perhaps, you know, at least look good from a PR standpoint for the government to give the allocations so it looks like Pakatan is upholding those, you know, values of democracy?
I think the popular sentiment nowadays is very much associating AMNO with corruption. So any sort of help for AMNO, I don't think would actually help the government of the day. Let us not forget the government of the day also has to, for example, cater to those people who voted them into power. And who are those people who voted them into power? They are the slight majority in the country who really felt that enough is enough. So if the current government is not careful and pander to a very abstract notion of democracy and so on and give money to the AMNO side, I think they will have a revolt on their own support base.
Will having a shadow ministry in any way increase BN's influence?
Well, I would imagine with the formation of such a shadow cabinet, then, for example, if there are issues pertaining to a particular portfolio, let's say defense, let's say finance and so on, then there will be somebody from the opposition side who would hopefully more proactively speak out from their point of view against certain policy in that field. Yeah, it would increase, for example, the efficiency for them to do so, as opposed to you know, some random members of the opposition speaking on a certain issue. But whether they would increase their support, I think that remains to be seen.
And finally, do you think that this might be a sign that BN has started to find their footing?
I think they still have to repair their image quite a lot. I think with this almost incessant arrest and prosecution of various figures associated with the previous regime, it is very difficult for them to rehabilitate themselves in a short period of time.
Ihsan, thank you so much for your analysis. That was O. Ihsan, Principal Advisor of the Pacific Research Centre. Yeah, lots to consider there. And I think the government has a lot to consider as well, especially when it comes to how they're going to handle this shadow cabinet. Because now, whatever they say, there's going to be a shadow minister, most likely, planning a response. Now, the budget is probably going to be the biggest thing that's coming up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's going to be a fight,
but,
I think.
No, I think so. But here's the other interesting thing. The people in the shadow cabinet have had actual experience drafting budgets. And so, and they've had actual insight as to what's going on with the coffers as well. So that's going to be interesting because in the past, the opposition members didn't have that insight.
No, and they've said as much, haven't they?
Yes,
they've said
have.
In the news, well, we're not sure, so we think. You know,
this is the best estimate, right?
We really need to get in there in order to fully understand what's going on. And yeah, I guess we've seen the effects of that. I'm also curious on Ihsan's point about what's going to happen regarding the allocation of resources, because I think there are those among us who would like to see due respect being paid to democracy. But at the same time, that point about are you giving money to people who
right.
have traditionally been seen as corrupt? That's also, I don't know. I think that's a bit of a catch-22.
That will not go down very well. You're absolutely right. Tweet us on at BFM Radio. Text us on 018-789-8899 and give us your thoughts on the Shadow Cabinet. We've got more music coming your way. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.